And so it's very appropriate that this morning you have done this. Some people think double honor means double salary. So that's one way you could have done away with this whole service. Just double the salary and then just carry on. The other way is to include it as part of the service to say, we really want to honor our pastor who has been here for all these years and has ministered so faithfully to us and above all to his Savior Jesus Christ. And as we talked about that first service that was preached here, and if I had known there was one of those, I probably should have, you would have all thought I was very impressed that I preached the same words from that same one after all these years, but I didn't know that, so I couldn't impress you by preaching almost the same sermon. But it's interesting that the scriptures in 1 Peter 5:1 through 4 speaks about the kind of person that God honors in the body of believers as far as the pastoral and eldership. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And the chief, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So a lot of great things were said about Andy, but I understand that he is also not perfect. And there are a couple urban legends that have gone about him in his past. And one of those was when he was trying to learn the computer. I think when you came here, there weren't computers yet, were there? Had they invented a computer or right at the very beginnings and things like that? It would have been right in that area there. And his neighbor saw Andy going from the house, and he'd run across the street, and he ran back into the house again. And he did this several times, and the neighbor was wondering, why is Andy doing this? Why, you know, this is a little bit out of character for him. So decided to go over and ask him, and he said, why are you running back and forth across the street all the time? To which he said, well, I've got a computer now, and every time I hear this bing, and this thing comes up on the screen, you've got mail. So I run across to check my mail, and he said, it's never there. I go back, and it says it again, so I kept running across. So that's one of the urban myths that has been going around about him. And then there's another one, and I'm not sure of its validity either, but he did mention that after a couple of years, he was just wondering how he's going to keep fitting in here as this new young pastor. And so he was wondering, maybe I better keep my options open just a little bit in case something doesn't work out. And he saw there was an advertisement for CSIS, that's the Canadian Security Intelligence Services, and because he did so well in school, he thought, maybe there's a position here that I could fall back on if the church doesn't always work out for me. So he went in there, and when he was in the little room, he found there were a couple other pastors there as well. And they were also wrestling through, what is going to be best for my life at this time? And when they were there, they they said, the first test you have, we're going to show you a profile of a suspect. We want you to observe for about a minute, and then we want you to write down, or tell us actually, what it is that stands out about this person so that we can arrest him if we ever see him. First pastor went in and did the 1 minute, look. And then he said, okay, what distinguishes this person that you would be able to recognize him? And the first person was a pastor, and he said, well, he only has one eye. To which they shook their head and said, it's a side profile. You know, that you don't get it. So he left. Second one came in and said, can you tell us after your minute here, what is it you notice different? And so that guy said, he only has one ear. So as he left, no, that's not good enough. As they left, they looked at Andy and said, don't tell him what's obvious, because they don't want that. So Andy was really wrestling with, how am I going to get this job here and notice something that no one else has noticed? And he was looking and looking and looking. And they gave him the test. And they said, what is that you notice about this person? And he said, he wears contacts. Wow. They hadn't. They said, we don't know that about this suspect. So they did their digging, went into the logs, found out that, sure enough, the man wears contacts. And they said, Andy, how do you know he wears contacts? How did you pick that out when none of us were able to see that? He said, well, it was very easy. He's only got one ear and one eye. There's no way he can wear glasses. Okay, those are urban legends that have floated around. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3, and this is a passage I want to focus us in on over the next little while. And had a great time just of honoring your pastor. And if I would say this passage here, it speaks for itself. And after I go through 4 points that are found in the scripture here, you pretty well are going to have everything you need to know in order that you will follow Christ in your life wholeheartedly. So let me read the passage as we begin here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Number one, this is what probably Andy has found out, but other pastors, those of you that have been in leadership positions within this church, those of you that have taught Sunday school, if you don't know this, you'll never last. Number one, it says this, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you're not alone. Have you ever tried to do something all alone? My wife and I are doing a little bit of renovating in our house. You know, when we work together, we get things done. And when we don't work together, it's amazing how you need someone else to help you through these projects. And I must say that my wife is doing 90% of them, and I am helping her. So it's great. She loves watching. You know, for those of you husbands and your wives like to watch all those decorating shows and all those renovation shows, let them do that, because they'll do the renovating too. That's one of the benefits of putting up with that at sometimes. But you're not alone. In seminary, I was told, if you cannot endure loneliness, misunderstanding, and criticism, then get out of the ministry. How's that for the words for me launching into serving God, going into the church? The words that I was given, if you can't endure loneliness, misunderstanding, and criticism, then get out of the ministry. And there are many times when pastors feel that way. And there are many times when they might feel tempted to give up. And so the lesson that we have here in the book of Hebrews is very appropriate. For anyone who is serving God, it says, you are not alone. You are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. One of the losses I felt in my life was when my mother died. She died young at 69, and my dad died about 10 years later. And one of the losses I noticed, and I just sensed it, they were such prayer warriors. They were such, they prayed for me continually and for the ministry that I was involved with. And I knew I was never alone. Do you know what it's like when you're in a team? Do you know what it's like for someone that feels they're all alone and they're out there and no one cares? It's pretty hard to carry on. And yet, if you are out there and you look over and you see your mom or your dad or your best friend or someone, and they're cheering you on, what do? You play even harder. And some of you maybe have know what it's like. It's scary to be up here in the front, and maybe you're going to sing a solo or you're going to play the piano for the first time in front of everyone, and you're so nervous. And you look over and you see some people that you know and that care for you. You're not alone. And they're praying for you and they're saying, yes, you're doing this for God's glory. Go for it. And all of a sudden you realize it's not my nervousness that counts. It's doing this for God's glory that's there. And this whole crowd of witnesses, the Bible says, they're there. They're cheering us on. Some of them have gone on before us. Some of them have been martyred. Some of them, but they've been faithful. And Jesus himself says, I am here cheering you on. Great cloud of witnesses. And they finished the race, some of them, and they're waiting for us. And there'll be times that you'll be just feeling, maybe I'm feeling a little bit low, and then you'll think, I remember, this person said, I'm going to pray for you every day. There's no greater gift that you can give to your pastors and to each other than to pray for each other and to say, I don't know what you're going through. And there are some people who have that just gift of discernment. And they'll sometimes wake up and God will put a person on their mind within your congregation. Don't you say, well, I think about them, but God's given that for a reason. You pray for them. You're part of the team that's working together. And that example and their courage and their faithfulness continues to inspire us. So that's number one. You're not alone. You'll never make it in ministry to serve God, whatever position you have in this church, wherever you are to be a witness for Christ, if you think you're all alone in it, but you're not alone. Very important to know that. Number two, lighten up. You ever had someone say that to you? You've said something, they go, lighten up. Well, that's what the second part of this says here. Lighten up. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Lighten up with those things that are going to hold you back and drag you down. Throw those things away. When you see runners, do they have big boots on and big coats and a backpack? And you see them slugging away, walking along. You don't see that because they've lightened up. They've taken those things that stopped them and hindered them, and they got rid of those, and they only put on what is necessary. Andy, Brent, Grace Baptist, people here, throw off anything that'll hinder you from growing spiritually. Only you know what that might be. I had a whole probably 45-minute message just on this passage at one point in my ministry. And what I did was I got a garbage can, and then I walked. You can do this if you have a small congregation, okay? Take too long here. And I went by, and I went by each person. And so I'd go up to Brent, and I'd say, Brent, what is there one thing in your life, or however many, that is hindering you, that you're just hanging on to, and you got to let it go? And then I put the thing, and then at the bottom, I bang it, you know, like he was putting stuff in. And then, of course, I go to Andy, and I just have a drum roll going on there to get all of his that stuff off of him, anything that's going to hinder him. So it was kind of humorous. But let me just say that today to all of you. If there's one thing, what might it be that would hinder you from being all that Christ wants you to be? So you know you're not alone. But we also know that our human nature comes into our walk with Christ. So what is it that might be there? A few weeks ago, I had a good friend of ours. We were talking, and she said, I don't know why I just don't share Christ with people, and I'm not reading my Bible, and I'm not really praying, and I know I should be doing that more. And so we talked, and I said, first of all, is there any moral sin or anything in your life that would hinder you? And stop your walk with the Lord. And secondly, is there anything that you have put as a priority, the things of this world, ahead of the things of God? Found out in our conversation that she'd stopped going to church a lot. Just goes the odd time now. And realizing that, okay, it's no wonder you start drifting from what you who you need to be in your spiritual walk when you don't associate much more with the people of God and the fellowship and the accountability that's needed there. And for her, she had to let that go. The things that were pressing in the world that were holding her back. So without me going and asking you each individually, which I'm not sure you would want to even share with me or publicly, think about that. What is one thing, perhaps, that would hold you back from being all that God wants you to be? And take it right now, mentally, in your mind. I've got the garbage can sitting right here. Okay, you can even toss it from where you are, if you're a good shooter. And just take that and put that in the garbage can and lighten up, because you got a good race that you need to run. And some might say, oh, but it's got to be a big sin. If you're a racer and running, how big of a sharp rock does it take in your shoe to make you come in last instead of first? It doesn't have to be big. But there's something that gets in there and it stops the race the way you need to go. And then, of course, there's great big things as well that can get in the way. Well, the third thing the passage says to us, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I think this is a good one because it teaches us to be patient. You're here for the long haul. The journey that you're on isn't a 100-yard speed dash. It's a marathon. And runners are confronted with a couple of temptations when they start running that race. Number one would be they try so hard to be at the front and to be successful, and they expend all their energy in that first little bit of the race, and there's nothing left for the end. In churchleadership.org, they tried to look at the old statistics. And the statistics that were around in the 80s, 90s, may not be the same as they are now here in our age. So they said, what has changed and what is different? And so they started to check out some of the statistics and doing surveys again with pastors to find out what was happening. The statistics from way back are very similar to what is there now. They found that those who graduated from Bible school or seminary, the grads who went into ministry, 80% didn't make it past that 5-10 year mark. Sometimes, and I know I was guilty of it when I was young too and starting out, I took the role of Jesus and I felt, if you're not getting it done, I better do it for you. And I failed every time because only Jesus can do what he has done and is doing. And I think sometimes burning out too fast. And the other thing that runners have a problem with, and we do too in that way, at some point they think they can't make it and say, kind of bench themselves and just plug through, somehow we'll make it to the end. And they watch others all go by. And the other stat that came out is somewhere around 50% of pastors deal with depression and continual discouragement in their ministry. That's why Hebrews says, persevere. You're not going to finish this in a week, or a month, or a year, or a decade, because it's a journey. It's a lifelong journey that you've been called to. And that's why it says in 12 verse 2, Jesus said, he said, for the joy, says here, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Joy and the cross. Who would put those words together? Who says, I'm looking forward to a cross because I'm looking forward to joy? Doesn't make sense. And yet, Jesus knew that if he did not have something to look forward to, the joy of our salvation, the cross would be too heavy to bear. And so he went to the cross for the joy that it brought him, knowing that we would be there in the kingdom with him. He endured persecution, and that joy came as our salvation came through what he had done. I like to see it as a passing the baton, you know. You've seen racers, because this is kind of a racing passage here. You see them pass the baton, and you're running as hard as you can, and you pass it to the next person, and this person takes a little break, and the next person runs, and sometimes they do it more than just one lap. And so then, eventually, it comes back to the first person, and their person runs again, and they take a break, and they go on. That's the journey that we have. That's the race that we're on. It's not the big lap. It's not on our own. We're in this together, and that's why small groups are always seen as so important within a local church, because you're not alone. You're doing it together. You're doing life in the Spirit together. And Jesus is running every step of the journey with us. Will he always succeed? Will every program you do be successful? Will you never get tired? Are you going to fail? I think so. And fall? But Jesus says, I am the God of a second chance. Just get up and keep going, and I'll be with you for the journey. And then, last thing I want you to hear, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I thought it was interesting that Pastor Andy said in his little thank you to you as a congregation, the key to ministry with his life, with you as a congregation, he read that verse right there. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And that is the most important part of ministry. Remember Peter walking on the water? What happened the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus? Began to sink. That's what happens with us. And I think of my friend that I talked to and the struggles that she was having in her life at that point. Started to get her eyes off of Jesus, started looking at all the pressures of life and all the finances and all the children and all the issues and all the problems and all the hell things. She got her eyes off of Jesus. And she started to sink. Keep your focus on Christ, because he won't leave you or forsake you. He'll always be trustworthy and faithful. I'm going to read a couple lines here, and I want you to repeat this with me. I am a child of God. That is my identity. When you know that, your eyes will be fixed on Jesus. Can you say that with me? I am a child of God, and that is my identity. Okay, let's say it now again. I am a child of God, and that is my identity. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Jesus is my hero. He saved me, gave me hope, gave me a new life, gave me purpose. And there's always a temptation in church to get focused away from Jesus, but on some good cause. And there's a lot of good causes. But a good cause will not save anyone. Jesus can heal the sin and the hurt of our world. So those of you in leadership, and especially as we honor you, Andy, and your family here today, fix your eyes on Jesus and your devotion on Christ. He brought you into being, he brought you here, and he'll lead you through all the steps of your journey together. And then at the end of our journey, what is it that we want to hear from our Savior? From Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all we need. Well done, Grace Baptist Church. Well done. You have been faithful. You've run the race. And you're still running right up to the end. So happy 25th anniversary to you and your family. Happy, how old is Grace? 74. Whatever, so you don't even know. That's okay, because 74, that's a great year. So happy anniversary in 74 too. Whatever you are, you see, the dates, that doesn't matter. But when you started, when Andy started, fix your eyes on Jesus. And God will bless that and honor that. So may God bless you. May He pour His abundant love and grace and mercy on you, and may you grow in peace and unity as you fix your eyes on Jesus. Father, thank you for this time together, for a great celebration to honor, to give double honor to a man of God who has accepted your calling and has been faithful and obedient in leading this congregation to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen.